We're doing Navi, we're up to the book of Shoftim. We had learned how Gideon was victorious, and towards the end of his military campaign, the people of Sukkot and Penuel refused to help him and his soldiers. And then he conquered the final two kings of the Midianites, the kings named Zebach and Salmuna. And then he questioned them, where are the people from Tavor? And they said, well, they look just like you, and they obviously killed them. And he said, yeah, they were my stepbrothers. If you wouldn't have killed them, I wouldn't kill you now. You killed my stepbrothers, so I will. And then he tells his firstborn son, Yeser, his eldest, he says, execute these two kings. He wants to train him to be a warrior. And they were scary people, these two kings, Zebach and Salmuna. And so Yeser is scared. He does not draw his sword. He's still a youngster. And Zebach and Salmuna tell Gideon, we'd rather you kill us because it'll be less painful. You know how to draw the sword and kill. And so Gideon does that. Now, he takes the moon. They had like rings, earrings in the shapes of moons that they hung on the necks of their camels. And Gideon takes those from Zebach and Salmuna. Now, the people of Israel tell Gideon, we want you to be our king. Your son, your grandson, you saved us. And Gideon says, I won't rule over you, nor will my son rule over you. Hashem will rule over you. Now notice this, because the next story, the next two stories, will show us people who approach things with an opposite approach. Their approach is antithetical to the approach of Gideon's. They are looking to control the Jewish people. But Gideon, in his modesty, says, no, not me, not my son. God will control over you. And then Gideon says, I want one thing. From your loot, if each of you could give me your nose rings, being that they're Yishmaelim, they all wore the shape of a moon on their noses, and they spread out a blanket, and they throw in all the nose rings they have in their loot, and it ends up being 1,700 bars of gold. And then they take all those nose rings and they make it into one long sash. And what Gideon wanted was to have that sash so people will see that the miracle really happened. This would be leftovers. This would indicate every nose ring represented another camel that they conquered. This war started with 300 men. Remember, they were outnumbered more than 100-1, right? So they had won the war against 135,000 soldiers, right? 300 against 135,000. So they were outnumbered more than 500-1, right? So that's what he wanted to indicate. He wanted to have this sash on display in his city, so people would see that you have over 100,000 nose rings there, and they'd realize, yes, this was a formidable opponent, and it was a miracle that God did on our behalf. So they have this sash made of nose rings in his city in Ophrah, and what happens is people start saying, you know, that sash must have tremendous powers to it, and people started praying to it, and it became an idol. Gideon leads us for 40 years, and then he passes. He has many women, he has many children, he has 70 children. And one of his concubines, a woman from Shechem, has a son whom he names Avimelech, which is very strange because that's not a Jewish name. When Gideon passes away, so the people of Israel again start worshiping the pagan god of Baal, and Gideon's son, Avimelech, the one who came from his concubine in Shechem, he goes to the people of Shechem, he goes to his relatives in Shechem, and he says, convince the leaders that they're better off having their relative from Shechem than all the 70 kids that Gideon's children should be in charge. Now this is the means of a good politician. A good politician knows that in order to get the public moving, they have to devise a threat. Meaning if you want to cut everyone's income by taxing them. If you want to ensure that you can get away with doing a lot of painful things to the public, what you have to do is convince the public that there's a major threat out there and they can't afford to be without you, even though you're doing things that are really problematic for them. So that's the ploy that many politicians use. If you look closely at politics, you'll see that it's used repeatedly to control the masses. Fear is an excellent tool. So that's what Avimelech does. He invents a threat. Technically, his siblings weren't interested in controlling the people of Israel. Technically, his father had already said, I'm not taking the leadership. But Avimelech can convince them that there's a threat that they'll have 70 siblings in charge. And so the people say, hey, we're much better off with our relative. So they give him money, and they take money from their house of worship. They give it to him, and he hires some hitmen. He takes the hitmen out to his father's house. He gathers all his 70 siblings and has them all slaughtered on one stone. So now his whole father's family was killed, except one kid, his little brother Yotam, and Yotam hid, and that way he wasn't killed with the rest. He was in hiding. And now the people of Shechem come to celebrate and appoint Avimelech as king. So they're sitting in Shechem having a party, and Yotam hears of this. He rides out on top of Mount Gerizim, that's overlooking Shechem, and he calls out to the people of Shechem. So he's a party pooper, right? They're having the party, and suddenly one kid shows up. Hey, you got one brother you didn't bump off. And he stands at a large distance where he can be guaranteed that they won't be able to catch him. And he calls out and he says, listen here, leaders of Shechem, and may God hear you. All the kings went and wanted to appoint a king over them. So they went to the olive tree and they said, you be king over us. And the olive tree said, but I have so much to offer. I am used to honor man. I am used to honor God. I don't have time to just spread my branches over you, to sway over you. So the trees went to the fig tree and they said, you be king over us. And the tree said, but I have so much bounty to offer. I have so many sweets. I don't have time to just sway over the rest of you. So the trees went to the grapevine. And they said, you be king over us. And the grapevine said, but I have so much to offer. I make God happy as I'm libated in the temple. I make people happy. I can't just go sway over the trees. So all the trees turned to the thorn bush. Notice what Avimelech, notice what Yosam is saying. To be king is to sway over you. If someone is productive and they have something real to offer, they don't stop what they're doing to just go and sway over the other trees. So the trees go to the thorn bush. Now, what does the thorn bush have to offer? Fire, thorns. That's not good for the other trees. So they go to the thorn bush and they say, you be king over us. And the thorn bush thinks to himself, hey, wait a second. Why would they want me as king? I'm not exactly the worthy one. But the thorn bush says, okay, if you guys are sincere, so then you'll have to come and rest under my shade. Now the thorn bush doesn't really offer any shade. And if you were all just coming and teasing, so you know what? I will create a fire and it will consume every one of you. So now Yosam is concluding the story he said. He says, look, you guys anointed Avimelech. If there was sincerity in that appointment, if he's really fitting to be king, and if what you've done is really fair to my father, who risked his life to save you guys, and you turned on him and killed all his sons and appointed the son of the maid, Avimelech, because he's your relative. If what you've done is fair, so you should all be happy. But if it isn't fair, so then a fire should come out of him and consume you, and a fire should come out of you and consume him, and this union should be destructive to both of you. And that is his curse. And with that, he turns away and runs. And next week, Bezat Hashem, we will learn about how his curse came true. For 3 years, Avimelech ruled in peace, and then God caused a tumultuous wind to come between them, and fighting sprouted between them, as we will see, as Hashem paid back Avimelech for his evil ways.